As I shared, the basis for the meditation this morning is the gospel lesson from Matthew 5. I ask you to please pray with me again. Come, Lord Jesus, quickly. Many of us are waiting for you, and not one of us will be disappointed. And all God's people say, Amen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, Matthew 5 begins, "Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and teaches them." Jesus begins the preaching of the Sermon on the Mount with what are called the Beatitudes. In the Beatitudes, Jesus tells the disciples to be good and to do good. But he first needs to encourage them in their journey and work. He needs to give them the reason that they should live godly lives in their words, in their deeds, in their thoughts. He preaches to them and to us, his disciples today. Blessed are so-and-so. Blessed are the ones who do this or do that. Or blessed are those who are this or are that. For example, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is, those who see they cannot save themselves and believe in Jesus as the Savior from sins. He says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. They who are undeserving and unworthy are forgiven and saved in Christ. Blessings listed there in Matthew 5 also include the kingdom of heaven, comfort, inheriting the earth, satisfaction, mercy. He says, we shall see God. We, he says, are sons of God. We shall receive the reward of heaven, he says, earned not by us, but by Jesus. And we look at the list and we go, wow, being blessed ones, Jesus teaches us, we have a lot, don't we, to rejoice and be glad about. As the Sermon of the Mount continues, Jesus teaches those first century disciples and us that the blessed season and shine. Matthew 5:13 says, it's the beginning of the gospel lesson today. Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. So, who uses salt out there? How many of you have salt on your tables at home when you eat? Why? Well, in days gone by, salt was used more, wasn't it, for preservation. But we know today, continues the use of salt in that it adds flavor or brings out the flavor of food. So salt is for the seasoning of food, isn't it? Food tastes better, more delicious. Salt, another blessing that we enjoy. So what is it Jesus means when he says to his disciples that they are the salt of the earth? He is teaching us whom he has blessed tremendously, that the blessed are seasoning salt. We are to season the world with the word of God. We are to season the people around us with the gospel, with the good news that God loves us and he has saved us. If a blessed disciple of Jesus, that is a Christian, we could say, isn't letting people know about God, about God's love, about God's saving work in Christ, crucified and risen, I guess we could say he or she has lost his or her saltiness. So the blessed, by the presence and working of the Holy Spirit, sees in the world, beginning in our own homes, don't we? Jesus says, he gets at that wonderful truth using more picture language. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill, he says, cannot be hidden. And that's right. If a city's up around the hill, you can see it for miles and miles. Verse 15, he says, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket. And we say, why not? Why isn't that done? Well, because a lamp cannot be seen under a basket, nor does a lamp under the basket light up the room or the house in which it is placed to help those there. Go, duh, right? But a light, he says, is put on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. So on a stand, the light can be seen, and the light also gives out light all around. We have lights on the ceilings, don't we? In our homes, in other places. We have lights here. And see where they're positioned to light up the room so that things can be seen. In the same way, Jesus says, let your light shine before others. And then why does he say that? That they may see your good works and give glory to you. That's not what he said, is it? Because you heard that text. No. Instead, he says, so that they may see your good works. You are the ones doing them. And then what? And give glory to your Father who is in heaven. The blessed season and shine in the world with good works. So what's the list? To mention a few. Gentlemen, husbands, the Bible says, love your wives like Christ loves the church. I saw that. And then it says, wives, submit to your husbands like the church submits to Christ. To children, it says, obey your parents in all things. And to parents, it says, bring up your children in the way of the Lord. We're told to look out for the interests of others. It's not all about me, myself, and I, is it? He says, love your enemies. And who's that? People we hate? Because we're not to hate anyone, are we? Enemies are the people that hate us. And he says, love those enemies. So whatever your hat, whatever your position you or I may have, we are to season and shine so that people hear us and see us and give glory to the Father in heaven. It has to be real. You know? We can't just go through the motions. People hear and see us, and they look at us and they hear us and they wonder what makes us talk the way we do and what makes us live and act the way we do in ways that glorify the Father. We season and we shine and glorify the Father, not so we can get to heaven, but we do those things, we season and shine and glorify the Father in heaven because we are on our way to heaven. How wonderfully true that is. And so because we are blessed, saved, empowered by the Holy Spirit, that makes us thankful. And thankfulness brings about good works. We cannot help but season and shine. Faith without works is dead. Faith isn't just talk, it's action. Jesus continues, do not think that I have come to abolish the law and the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot, will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. So our Lord here is telling us that he doesn't abolish the Old Testament. That's what he means when he refers to the scribes and the law. For he is that promised Messiah, the promised Savior. Jesus is the one who fulfills God's promise to send that Messiah and Savior. Jesus also fulfills the law of God when he lived perfectly, keeping the law of God perfectly in our place. That's part of his saving work, along with his also sacrificing himself as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world on Calvary's cross, yours and mine included. There our Lord appeased the just wrath of God the Father. There our Lord paid for the sins of the whole world, and that payment was accepted by the Father. And then after making that payment, that satisfaction, that atonement, he rose from the dead, he lives, and he rules. He's in charge. In spite of the things we might hear and see going on in the world and around us, God is still God. And the things Jesus did to save you and to save me and all people. He says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." And we go, oh no. I mean, when you think about it, when those first century disciples, those folks who were there listening to Jesus on the hillside on the northeast corner of the Sea of Galilee, would they be despairing that day of hearing these words? Or maybe even at least thinking, we are lost. For the scribes and the Pharisees are great religious leaders among us. People might wrongly think that way. See, the scribes and the Pharisees were rather a self-righteous bunch. Oh, they appeared to be holy and godly and righteous, but they did not have faith in Jesus as their Lord, as their Savior. They weren't believers. And Hebrews tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God. The righteousness, then, brothers and sisters in Christ, that surpasses their righteousness is not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of Jesus. The blessed, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, Christians, you and I, therefore, have on this righteousness of Jesus. We have on the robe of righteousness. We have on the garment of salvation that was earned by Jesus' active and his passive obedience. And so when the Father looks at us, he sees that righteousness, that Holy Spirit worked faith in us that brings about and enables us to have on that garment. The alb that I wear symbolizes that righteousness of Jesus that covers this sinful human being. Having faith in Jesus, in his merits and his righteousness, and that thanks to the presence and working of the Holy Spirit, we are the blessed ones. The blessed ones, remember, season and shine. It's a wonderful and it's a fulfilling purpose and privilege that you and I have. God is glorified. The blessed are blessings and are blessing. The blessed are blessing as they season and shine. And if you want to take a quick look at the Sermon of the Mount, it's in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. It'll show some of the ways that Jesus says we are to shine and season. Don't murder or be angry. Don't commit adultery or lust. Don't divorce. Keep your word. Don't seek revenge. Love your enemies. We heard in the Old Testament lesson, give to the needy. Pray. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't judge. And do to others what? What you want them to do to you. We call that the golden rule, don't we? My life is full of blessed believers who have seasoned and shined in my life, blessing me. Words and deeds by fellow believers that held up my arms. People who encourage me in my life and in my ministry. And I learn from those blessed ones how to love, how to season, how to shine, and strive to do as was done to me. And I could give you all kinds of examples. But so it goes, doesn't it? We teach by word and example, and the next generation is taught so they can teach by word and by example. And I want to share one example from the week gone by. As I was sharing this text, and when I asked them, what are some ways that we can season and shine today? A mother shared that when her son was dying with cancer, she asked, what was the best thing we did for you? And he said, you taught me the faith. Wow. Well done, faithful mom and dad. Your son died in the faith and went to heaven. God used you to season and to shine in his life. And there's really nothing more important. Really, it could be maybe the best way to season and to shine. Others, letting others, those around us, know the word of God and know how much God loves them and know how Jesus has saved them. Let them know also God's will for us. And that's really the calling and the privilege that Mount Moriah Lutheran and all the blessed children have. Blessed believers. And today I don't usually do this, but I want to wrap up with a poem I ran across. It's called The You in Jesus. You know how to spell Jesus. Before you were thought of or time had begun, God stuck you in the name of his Son. Each time you pray, you'll see it's true. You can't spell out Jesus and not include you. You're a pretty big part of his wonderful name. For you, he was born. That's why he came. And his great love for us is the reason he died. It even takes you to spell crucified. Isn't it thrilling and splendidly grand? He rose from the dead with you in his plan. The stone split away, the gold trumpet blew, and this word resurrection is spelled with a U. When Jesus left earth at his upward ascension, he felt there was one thing he just had to mention. Go into the world and tell them it's true, that I love them all, just like you. So many great people are spelled with you. Don't they have a right to know Jesus too? It all depends now on what you will do. He'd like them to know, but it all starts with you and me. May the peace of God, that surpasses all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus Christ as you are seasoning and shining, and as you will season and shine.